The right podcast. The right podcast.
Well, am I pure evil? Am I the face of terror sitting here in front of you? Or am I able to talk to you man to man?
Get prosecutors to agree. Atkinson faces one count of first degree murder for now, and he's being held on $1 million bond.
Directly behind Eric Rudolph in the courtroom today, his sentencing hearing was emotionally wrenching. Survivors of his clinic.
Welcome to the Right Podcast on YouTube. And in this episode, we're going to analyze, critique, take a look at the already infamous Joe Rogan episode with Dr. Robert Malone. I'm not a Joe Rogan person. As a matter of fact, this is one of the first times that I watched or listened to an entire Joe Rogan episode. They're very long. And so this was an introduction into that world in general. And the first thing that I thought, the first observation I had, was that of general confusion. The episode just started. They started talking with no introductions, and then they kind of went back and did introductions. But what did not happen, because that's fine, and it's kind of a shtick too, but what didn't happen was any like overview of what this was going to be about. It was just this, okay, this person's on the show and let's go, which is okay, except that there was a lot getting covered. And at the end, after 3 hours or so, it was hard to remember what had even happened because everything was going everywhere. Nothing was segmented. Nothing was introduced. Again, no high-level overview, no agenda. And I don't know. That's probably by design. However, again, at the end, I had to go back and ask myself, you know, what was that? And this is not going to be a critique of Joe Rogan or his show. This is a critique of the specific episode. But, you know, I'll say this. I really had no expectations going into this. I was listening to this while I was driving. And at about the 9 minute mark, after a very lengthy introduction by Dr. Robert Malone, it kind of just leapt into this, you know, like a big tech discussion, already kind of with a leading question bordering into conspiracy stuff, like right off the bat. And I just turned it off. I said, if there's 2 hours and 50 minutes more of this, I can't just listen to this passively because it's not what I was expecting. And I'm going to want to take notes so that I can actually talk about this intelligently, about everything that went on. And then as the episode continued, I realized that it would take 3 episodes that are 3 hours to dissect everything that went on. So what I have here is kind of like a high level overview of the topics, which was never presented to the audience. You know, whether that's design, whether that's a style of production, I don't know. But in the beginning, there were introductions. The doctor talked about himself, and we'll discuss that in a moment. And then Ryan's a big tech. And at this point, I was confused. Maybe, you know, it's just me not really understanding Joe Rogan shows. But I was like, why is a doctor talking about big tech, which is really a kind of like a Fox News talking point about, really, it's right wing people getting thrown off social media for spreading misinformation and stuff. So why is this doctor just confused? Why is this doctor talking about this? I don't get it. It led into free speech. At this point, my alarms were kind of going off saying, you know, things sounded great in the intro with this guy, but now we're getting into free speech and then Getter to like an ad for another social media platform. This was before Rogan hyped it up, but not too much before. So I don't know. There is a weird relationship with that happening. He briefly, and this was odd, I'm not going to bring it up again, so I want to mention it here. Dr. Malone talked about this like clinical research trial that he's supposedly going to be a part of. It seemed like it was kind of a bombshell in his mind. that fell flat. I don't know. He brought it up and he said, you know, hey, this is the first time that we're announcing it. I think he said Leidos, and Leidos exists. I went back and listened to it, and I'm guessing this is what he meant. I'm not sure though. But I think he means Leidos, because Leidos is a type of company or group that would do clinical research, clinical trials, and they did just get a whole bunch of money for COVID clinical trials. So I think he's doing research with that, but it was odd because he kind of said it and then they moved on, and I don't think they went back to it unless at like the 2 hour mark they mentioned it again, and I didn't get it. They brought the doctor talked about hydrochloroquine and ivermectin. They talked about any number of conspiracies, and when I say that, I just mean that it's conspiratorial thought or a conspiratorial view on something. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just saying they talked a lot about conspiracies. They spent an enormous amount of time. I had to put it up to double speed to get through it, talking about vaccine injuries. I'm not going to diminish it because they're real. There's a vaccine injury court in the United States. There are people that have reactions to all different types of vaccines, some mild, some very severe. However, wow, did they spend a lot of time on this? And I'll get to kind of my critique on that later. And then at the end, by this point, my objectivity or my attempts to be objective are kind of gone, because they had gone off the rails, man. And so I kind of started, I started to see what this was. And I just couldn't believe that there was a plug for a rally in DC at the end of the month about COVID vaccine mandates, lockdowns, anti-mask, anti-vax stuff. I was really surprised. And I mean, I don't want to say shocked, that's a little over the top, but I didn't expect all that. So let's go through this step by step. First of all, the introductions. Dr. Robert Malone is not humble, and that's fine. You do great stuff. You should promote it and be proud of it. But wow, yeah, it got into a Tom Clancy novel pretty quickly. And, you know, one of the things that I'll call out that other people don't want to, and I understand why, but, you know, his LinkedIn said this apparently, his peers kind of dance around it, but this guy did not invent mRNA technology. So let's just say that right off the bat. He was an early pioneer of it. He's extremely important to it. When he was very young, in his 20s, he participated in research that was groundbreaking with this type of platform. But he's in his 60s now. And that was a very long time ago. And he's been away from that for some time. The more that I looked into who this person was, the more of a profile appeared about maybe where he's coming from and what he thinks. He mentioned a Atlantic article, and he called it a hit piece. And, you know, one of the things that Rogan didn't do was challenge him on any of this stuff. He didn't ask Robert Malone, what do you mean a hit piece? Or what was in that article that you disagreed with? He didn't ask Dr. Robert Malone if he claiming that he is the sole inventor of mRNA technology was wholly accurate or not. And you know, that was a very early and very clear critique of Rogan. I saw what was happening, he was just lining up leading questions and then allowing Dr. Robert Malone to kind of go wherever. If he didn't go where Rogan wanted him to go, Rogan didn't force him there. And I think that that's how some people think that he's like objective. But these questions were extremely leading, and none of this was challenged, which, you know, to me is it's either lazy, either you didn't do your work, because I would think if you're interviewing someone, you would, you know, do research on them and understand who they are, or the goal is not to present pro and cons and, you know, try to parse out truth, but instead have a conversation that is guided by the host. And that's kind of what this was. So I went and I looked for that Atlantic article, and here it is. And one of the things in it discusses how this doctor really butted heads with his peers, was very condescending to his peers. And especially when the COVID outbreak occurred, sent some really questionable emails to his peers. Especially here, Caitlin Carrico. CNN had done an expose on her, I guess, kind of, you know, making her into a hero of mRNA technology. Here you can see the New York Times also did some things. So this woman was getting pumped up, and Malone wasn't in any of these stories. But there's a reason for that. we'll see this in the next slide, why. If you're watching this on the YouTube channel, you can see here, it says Carrico shared with me, the author of the Atlantic article, an email that Malone sent her in June accusing her of feeding reporters bogus information and inflating her own accomplishments. This is not going to end well, Malone's message says. And, you know, before I read this, just the extended introduction by this person, kind of, you know, if I were at a bar and I didn't know who this person was, I would find him to be a character, you know, and kind of roll with it. But 9 minutes into his introduction about his career, I was thinking to myself that, yeah, this guy's not a humble dude, which again is fine, you know. But then, you know, looking into some of this, you start to see maybe personality with this guy. One that definitely has some resentment over, I don't know, maybe not being recognized as much as he thinks he should be. So again, here, just not questioning anything. Dr. Malone was a pioneer in technology. He's been cited by many people. However, it wasn't as if he alone invented this technology. Many doctors, many scientists, many researchers have put effort and time into development of mRNA. And many have done so since Dr. Malone was, you know, in his 20s at the Salk Institute. And kind of, you know, going with that in the intro, Robert Malone, you know, says, well, I at one point, I believe he phrases it like, I didn't want to become a one of these people that just writes in academic, you know, journals. I wanted to do things that would help people. I wanted to produce things. You know, what did that mean in real life? It meant that he actually dropped out and he didn't complete his PhD at that time. And yeah, you know, that was just another fact that was kind of left out that Rogan, I don't know, he just never questioned it. I don't know. If you're watching this on the YouTube again, we have another piece of this from the Atlantic article going back to Carrico, basically saying that, you know, she was in communication with Robert Malone saying, I never said that I invented this stuff, right? These are just news stories coming out about me. And, you know, the reason why they were coming out about her It was because she was a vice president at BioNTech, which was teaming with Pfizer to develop one of the COVID vaccines. And Pfizer was one of the first to do that, along with Moderna. So she was at the forefront of this. She had a history in research, of course, with this too. And so cable news stations and different media outlets were focusing on her. And this really upset Dr. Robert Malone. To him, it was clear that this was seen as a type of slight. To me, it looks like someone that was vice president of a company that was developing something in a time of pandemic. I don't know. But, you know, there was one last thing in that Atlantic article that I'm just going to read it. It was something that his wife wrote. And so his wife wrote this. This is a story about academic and commercial avarice. The Atlantic article describes it as framing her husband as a genius who is unknown because of abuses by individuals to secure their own place in history books. So, you know, that last piece, that, you know, those are her words. And the development of this person in this 9-minute introduction, along with a little digging into his history, helped shape, you know, the lens from which the person is viewing events. And, you know, I'm still border on whether or not Dr. Robert Malone believes all this, the things that he says or not. But definitely not on the border when it comes to the accuracy of everything he says. Everything he says is definitely not accurate. And that can be an issue when he's talking about COVID vaccinations and different responses to a pandemic. And then this is when I stopped listening. I said, I had to sit down and write this down because I didn't think that seeing a doctor or seeing someone with a doctor title, I didn't think that we were going to go into the realm of big tech discussions. And that was kind of the first red flag to me, like, oh, this isn't going to actually just be an objective discussion about COVID treatment or different types of co-treatments, maybe along with vaccinations or public policy discussion. This is going to be some conspiracy stuff. And yeah, so they talked about big tech. What was the framework from which they discussed big tech? Well, I mean, you know, listening to it, I couldn't tell if they were being performative or naive, or maybe a little both. But a part of this big tech discussion, and this dovetails into the next topic that they get into, is kind of, you know, around the fact that Dr. Robert Malone has been deplatformed numerous times. And I'm not going to comment on that. It's just a fact. Different across different platforms, right? LinkedIn and Twitter and now YouTube. And he's making the rounds. But there is this idea that when Rogan was talking with Malone, that there's some diabolical thing happening where, like, the heads, these leaders, the heads of these big tech companies are kind of getting together behind the scenes and censoring people and deciding truth. And, you know, who are they to decipher what's true or not coming from the mouth of such a great man as Dr. Robert Malone? And I had to laugh because, look, even if CEOs, COOs, and executive leadership in general came together across companies to discuss rules and terms of agreement, that's not a conspiracy. Okay, that thing happens all the time. This whole, I was surprised how political it got. This whole talking point is rooted in right-wing grievance, kind of originating with Donald Trump, but even before that, you know, even with like the rise of Fox News. But this grievance in the modern sense is kind of around Donald Trump and fake news stories around 2016 and, you know, alternative facts and all of that. Being deplatformed is not equivalent to censorship. And we'll kind of go into why. But, you know, lastly, listening to this, and this was, again, this was surprise. I didn't really have any expectations going into it. This is all a little, it is childish to me. And even if we're going to have a critique of big tech, and that's fine, you know, let's do that. There were no real proposed solutions. And, you know, there never is with this crowd of people. And I'm going to go ahead and when I say crowd, it's mostly kind of like the Fox News, maybe Fox News adjacent right-leaning podcasters and stuff as well. I mean, this is not like, this is a mainstream message, which is ironic. It's not some contrarian view or something. But with all of these people, whether it's like Tucker Carlson pulling his audience and, you know, his ad dollars on a mainstream platform, or Joe Rogan, you know, and his massive viewership, there's never a proposed solution, right? I mean, the solution is always just that these private companies should just be forced to allow individuals to do whatever they want, essentially, on their platform. That's the solution, which is just so immature. I mean, we can have a critique of capitalism, and we can have a critique of whether or not these large social media sites are like a modern day public utility, if you want. But if you're talking about a private company, no. It's ridiculous. But why would anyone think that any private company should be forced to do anything from people who aren't really even customers? I mean, you know, when you sign up to use these platforms, you're doing it for free. It's not even like you're a paying customer, right? The money comes, of course, from advertising and collecting your information and data and selling it. But it doesn't appear that, you know, people want there to be government oversight. I mean, because that would be the natural thing. Well, maybe this is an unregulated new part of the economy that, you know, we need oversight for. Well, that's not what Dr. Robert Malone is saying. Maybe these companies need to be broken apart, you know, some old fashioned trust busting. Maybe they're too big and they're too powerful. And the way that they're organized, they just cannot provide their own oversight at the size. And, you know, it's for whatever national good or national security or what have you, that these be broken apart, right? Good old fashioned trust busting, early 1900s, right? But yeah, I mean, Dr. Robert Malone doesn't say that either. I mean, really what these people want is for these private companies to allow them to say what they want without any repercussion. And it's just very immature and yeah, it's childish. And then this went into free speech, and yeah, I kind of don't care what a doctor has to say about free speech. I mean, it's fine, it's an opinion, but that's not their specialty, right? They're not constitutional scholars or anything. And so at this point, this is when I was really like, it's going off the rails. I don't know what we're talking about. And none of this is getting, there's no framework around these discussions. They're just all leading questions by Rogan. And so as a passive listener, you're just kind of going along for the ride, which is probably, again, one of the reasons why people like it. But being deplatformed is not censorship. I know that this has probably been said, but the First Amendment protects against government restrictions of free speech. The fact that this claim was being made on a podcast that reaches nearly 11 million people per episode makes it comical. And the reality is that this is steeped in advertising and another social media platform, essentially, that was getting set up to be advertised here, which was Getter, right? This whole conversation was kind of leading up to that. There is a conspiracy, though. There's a conspiracy with this free speech, and there is a conspiracy with big tech. And the conspiracy is that companies want to make money. Believe it or not, they're not there to provide you necessarily with the best services, and they don't necessarily care about the optimizations that you wish. Current state, capitalism, they're there to make money. Like it or not, that's what it is. It's not a public service. So while individual talent, like someone like, you know, Joe Rogan is very important, Joe Rogan, even with his massive viewership, is not everything, right? Long-term marketing, branding, image, and public perception are far more important to executives who have to report back to shareholders. Far more important than maybe one big show. And, you know, we'll kind of get to another piece of this in a moment. So here's the thing. If you're Twitter, if you're Facebook, if you're any of these social media sites, you don't want to be pigeonholed as being the right-wing site, unless that's your marketing, which is what Getter is. If you're watching the YouTube video, you can see that I have the Jason Miller's Getter profile up. And of course, just the immense irony after having this discussion about, you know, big tech and potential conflict of interest or maybe, you know, conspiracies with like government censorship or government being involved in big tech. Dr. Robert Malone pumping up his Getter account, which is a platform that was quite literally set up by the government. I mean, the CEO of Getter is a former senior advisor to President Donald Trump. The whole platform, the idea behind Getter when it was set up was kind of, it was seen as like what was going to be Trump's platform, and then that never came to be. And then it went defunct for a while, and you know, no one really cared or used it. ISIS used it. That was interesting for a while. You know, extremist groups and ISIS were posting on it. But so now it's back. But you know, for Getter, this is their whole marketing. And so true, they're marketing it as like this free speech thing, but we all know what that means, right? Free speech means that you can say all these ridiculous things that, you know, Republican elected officials, let's be honest, tend to say. And so it's kind of a right-wing thing. And I created a profile and then, you know, took it down as soon as I looked through the site. And it's like Parler. It's all just right-wing media personalities. And yeah, there's a bunch of other users. There's some pretty extreme people on there, 3%ers, Oath Keepers, stuff like that. But in general, it's just a place to get your Sean Hannity fix and you know, whatever. So that's good for Getter, but that's not good for Twitter. That's not good for Facebook. It's not good for Instagram. It's not good for any kind of social media site that wants to appeal to a broad audience. And there's a reason why they're so profitable. There's a reason why they're used so much. And it's because they're not just the Joe Rogan platform. They're not just the Robert Malone platform. And when people are using that platform in the way in which these companies, for right or wrong, think that, you know, this is conflicting with our public perception, this is conflicting with our branding and the image that we want to present, they're going to throw people off. And again, I mean, that's in the terms and the agreements that you decide to agree to use the free platform. You're not really even a customer. And that's the reality of it. So it's not as cool as the conspiracies. And I'm sure that there are discussions, especially after what happened in the 2016 election between the government and we'll say big tech, Right. They're just corporate. This is capitalism. They're just big companies. I mean, you know, in another sector, no one would care. But in this sector, they care because they're not getting everything that they want. So after they got past that, and that took a while. And again, it really just ended in my mind. There was no resolution or like action plan. It was really more just people complaining about not being able to do what they want. That's what it sounded like. And also an advertisement for the Getter platform, which is basically the Trump platform, you know, set up by a former Trump aide, and it's very right wing in its nature. But after that, Rogan started to go into some stuff that seemed to be off the cuff a little bit, but it was telling. And I guess I'm going to say this, right? Truth can matter, right? Truth can matter. It always depends on what we're talking about, but both Rogan and Malone asserted in different ways that regardless of whether or not the content is accurate, it should be allowed to spread freely regardless, that the free flow of information is more important than the accuracy of the information. And you know, this is problematic on a few different ways. Now, if we're talking about like cryptids, if we're talking about Hollow Earth, if we're talking about moon bases and stuff, yeah, I mean, like whatever, right? Who cares? But here's when you're talking about a pandemic that's killed a lot of people, that's different. And kind of overall, this was a problem with the Rogan show, at least on this episode that I saw, is that it's combining this entertainment that you might get on different podcasts, kind of like Last Pod on the Left or something, you know, these comedians, right? And it's meant to be funny. It's meant to be ridiculous and over the top. It's combining that feel and kind of like production value and the way that everything looks and feels with very serious content. And that juxtaposition stuck out to me very well about 9 minutes in when they started talking about big tech with a doctor all of a sudden. But you know, discussions regarding the exchange of information are a problem when they lack context, right? And there are very serious things to discuss with this, like journalistic and ethical points of view. As well as a company and profit model point of view too, going back to the reality that these are for-profit companies that we're talking about. And they don't want to be pigeonholed as being the Joe Rogan platform or the right-wing platform or the anti-vax platform. They have branding, they have marketers. They want to make money 20 years from now, not just 5 years from now. So this was kind of like a dual critique here of how this assertion that you know, basically what you're saying doesn't matter. You know, first of all, that a private company is going to say no. Because if that were true, then you'd just be 4chan. And I'm sorry, but Twitter is a lot more profitable than an image board is, right? But, you know, there's journalistic and ethical points to this too. And I'm not going to go too far down that rabbit hole, but an issue with Rogan is that he sits in this gray area of being a host and discussing very important topics, but not really having done research on them or having done some research and saying things like, well, I know this CEO or I know that guy, but not having a holistic conversation where pros and cons are included. And again, all done in this kind of entertainment shell, right, presentation. So the mixing of production style and content delivery and the overall show structure, which was no structure really, with such a serious topic was just troubling. And that was an observation that I had. So, you know, at this point, we're talking with the doctor. And outside of an advertisement for Getter and outside of a advertisement for this clinical trial that I guess Dr. Robert Malone is a part of, everything has been a big gripe. I mean, just objectively, everything is just complaining about other people. And, you know, interesting, kind of going back to that profile of Dr. Robert Malone as an individual, you know, everything is against him, right? All these social media platforms are against him. Big tech is against him. We'll see later that, we've already seen his peers are against him. He wrote borderline threatening emails to people. And we will see later that there are other forces against this individual. And yeah, you know, it's setting up very much like a kind of intellectual dark web personality where, you know, the gripe is that, you know, he's not wrong. It's everybody else that's wrong. And that he's really the secret genius, like his wife said he was. But it's you start to see where he's coming from. And then you can kind of start to see, you know, why was it that this person that was, you know, studying at the Salk Institute, how did he end up where he ended up? And it starts to make a little bit of sense. But big tech is censoring in collaboration with the government. This was kind of one of the big gripes that he had. And really his evidence of this was he getting deplatformed, basically. And it also sounds like the downplaying by some high-level people of alternative treatments. And it sounds like maybe ivermectin is one that he is especially keen on. Another big gripe, the CDC has conflicts of interest with pharmaceutical companies. Okay, that's true. But what was missing, because, you know, this is building narratives. This is, you're spinning the web here. So again, at no point is Rogan saying, well, what do you mean by that? Or, you know, what's the alternative? They just roll with it. Right, because they're building a narrative. They're not actually having an honest, good faith discussion about this. But you know, let's talk about this big tech and collaboration with the government and the CDC having a conflict of interest with pharma companies. Well, again, this is capitalism, and so there are going to be large companies, especially with pharmaceuticals, because guess what, man? Pharmaceuticals are very expensive to produce. At least in the research stage, conducting research is very expensive. It's not necessarily just a startup business. I don't know if he wants vaccines from like a hipster making them in his basement in pickle jars or something. The idea that I'm getting at is these companies that are mass producing pharmaceuticals are probably always going to be large in a free market. For some good reasons, and or just simply nationalized and run by the government. That's kind of the reality of that situation. And the reason being, again, because it's just so expensive to do and maintain. Now the CDC having conflict of interest with pharma, you know, this is interesting because this was like a conversation that happened, I don't know, like 10 years ago, I guess, when GMOs started to be a thing and people were saying, well, why are all these folks that were in agriculture, why are they heading that the FDA? This is a conflict of interest. And I, you know, there's something to that for sure. But I'll regurgitate what people told me back then, right? And the same in the energy sector, for instance, and what have you. Who else should be doing it? I mean, we can have a critique of capitalism, right? We're not going to do it now on this show, though. So the reality is this is capitalism. Who else is more of an expert in energy, in FDA stuff, in CDC stuff than former leaders in those private industries? I mean, that's the argument, I guess, that I'm trying to say, which applies for other sectors. And at no point did Rogan kind of discuss that or flesh it out. And because you can make an argument that maybe this is different. Maybe the CDC is different because medicine is different. Okay, cool. So, you know, that's the kind of discussion that I was expecting. But instead, it was just, well, there's a conspiracy. And then they kind of rolled on, you know, in an Alex Jones type voice. And that was a letdown. But, you know, it's a letdown in part because this is a good discussion. I mean, so who should head government agencies like the CDC then? If it's not, you know, people that were former private sector heads, I mean, should it all be scholars? I mean, that we can say, we can talk about that. You know, should it be all academia? Should it be all bureaucrats and, you know, people that kind of rose up the rank in serving in the government and in public sector and public health? But, you know, who would be the ideal person if it's not going to be someone that was a vice president of BioNTech or something, then who should be in those roles? And yeah, that it's an interesting conversation that never happened. And then, you know, they also went to this international conspiracy involver. This is where it gets a little silly. And I guess it's fun if that's what you. But I mean, look, so I guess that the takeaway from these two is that there's an international conspiracy involving numerous private companies, from supply chain people to manufacturing to research to all the way up the board, right? To withhold care, essentially, medical care, in collaboration with many governments and many international agencies and organizations too. And I mean, that's cool. Again, cryptids, you know, you want to talk about Hollow Earth and lizard people, fine. But when you're talking about something that's very real, like a pandemic, this is open to criticism. I'll put it that way. All right. Open to criticism. And, you know, again, with this, what's the alternative, right? This was a rolling narrative story that was being told with leading questions by Rogan. But what's the alternative? Simply that mRNA vaccines could potentially just prevent and lessen the effects of COVID? I mean, you know, could the alternative to this international conspiracy involving numerous private companies to withhold medical care in collaboration with multiple governments, could the alternative reality to that simply be that mRNA vaccines help prevent and lessen the effects of COVID and were simply the best and most efficient way to combat the pandemic? I mean, to me, this is kind of the simple answer, is probably the correct one. The fact that there's money in it is a critique of our healthcare system and the for-profit model. It's not necessarily a critique of vaccines, right? So I guess I'll kind of leave that to you. You know, what do you think would be, what has a potential to be more true? But regardless, you know, this was never discussed either, right? This alternative reality, right? Rogan saying like, yeah, you know, I hear what you're saying about this Leidos clinical thing that you're doing and the fact that there's this, you know, cabal against you on social media that's blocking you from using platforms because you have this hidden information that other people don't because you were the person that invented this. But also, I mean, haven't the vaccines been pretty successful? Don't they have a good success rate? Like that, at no point was that discussed. And then he got into hydrochloroquine, ivermectin, and natural immunity. For those on the YouTube channel, you can look at this outtake that I took from an a research study on the effects of hydroxychloroquine on COVID. You can look at many. However, you're going to find that most say that outside of some very basic molecular things, it doesn't do much, long story short. I mean, and this goes back to the Trump era. I mean, you know, Trump kind of pumped this up, and even he has dropped it. I mean, he's not running around talking about this anymore. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to say that there's absolutely no good use for it, but I am going to assume that even if there were some found in treatment, it would be in some type of co-treatment for like ICU patients in an early intervention treatment type package that would exist along with vaccination, along with wearing masks and socially distancing and washing your hands as preventative measures. And then we got to ivermectin, and you know, this one was a little bit different, I think. There's more conflicting studies with it, saying that, you know, maybe there might be something to it, not as necessarily preventative, but maybe again in a situation where someone's in the ICU to be used along with a host of other treatments. However, when I was looking at some of the studies, what I did see mentioned was that many of the early studies that were conducted ended up having issues and were redacted. And so I'm going to let you do this on your own, but there's a site here, retractionwatch.com, and it's just a library catalog of different studies that have been retracted. So I hopped over there, I searched for ivermectin to see if there is anything to that claim, and wow, was there. On the screen here is just one talking about a fraudulent study, essentially, that ended up in a $275,000 settlement. But you can scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. I'm not gonna go over it here. This is an activity that you can check out. However, you know, I'll just say this in terms of ivermectin. As an amateur person, a lay person looking at this, the one thing that pops out to me about it is that there's definitely no consensus. And there's definitely nothing that compares to success rates of mRNA vaccines. And of course, preventative measures and public policy. It just doesn't exist yet. I was surprised when Dr. Robert Malone started talking about natural immunity. That's usually that's when you start getting into anti-vax territory, kind of trying to present itself as holistic or something like that. And I'm not even going to get into, I mean, natural immunity speaks for itself, regardless, and it's conflicting, and I'm not going to get into it here about studies with it, but the whole idea of natural immunity is that you just allow yourself to get sick. And we did that for almost a good year, and millions and millions and millions of people died worldwide. So it's just not a solution. We can study the benefits, and we can study whether or not you need to be vaccinated after obtaining it. We can study how many times you can become reinfected with different strands. We can study a whole lot of different things about natural immunity, but natural immunity is very clearly not the solution. We lived through it, and there were trucks filled with bodies leaving buildings. I mean, I was shocked when they started talking about this. But also, again, missing from all these scenarios are mRNA vaccines. They really weren't discussed as a treatment. Missing from these conversations were the acknowledgments of their success rates. Moderna varies from 94 to 80% efficacy, depending on the strain of COVID that we're talking about and preventing infection. Never brought up. Missing from the conversation with all context. In that good hour or so chunk talking about vaccine injuries, myocarditis was brought up often. That, along with blood clots, are kind of go-tos for these, for what do you want to say, vaccine hesitant people, I guess. And it's okay to talk about those things because they're real and they exist, but you have to put them in context or else you're lying by omission. So what was missing from this conversation about it? The American Heart Association study found that myocarditis is extremely rare. And of the subset, which is very small, of people that do suffer from it, overwhelmingly that small subset have mild symptoms that resolve in a few days. Myocarditis has also been associated with other vaccines like smallpox, which are not mRNA based. So this is not a thing with, first of all, we have to define what a problem is. You know, it's like with blood clots. That was a thing for a while. Statistically, there's far greater chance to sustain clotting of blood with birth control. And when you put that into context and you think about the amount of people on birth control, you say, okay. And so then you put it into context again with a pandemic and you say, is this a reasonable risk? Right? That's the kind of conversation that you have, right? That's not what this was. This was a solid hour of talking about heart inflammation and strokes and heart attacks and all this stuff. By design. But I do think that, you know, the more important thing that was never brought up in this is that this symptom that can occur from vaccination is not mRNA specific. It's something that is known to occur in other medications outside of vaccines, but also within vaccines. And when you don't say that, it makes it appear like this new technology isn't being treated or hasn't been carefully examined enough. And now there's these unforeseen consequences that are happening. And then this goes into the conspiracies about the numbers and how big it is and how it's all a big cover up. No. And so this is when we officially landed in Disneyland, I guess. I don't know. At one point, again, trying to give all credit of the doubt to this person, we end up at the Canadian COVID Care Alliance, CCCA. Not a lot out there on this organization. I went to the website and took a look. What do you find on it? And this is something that Robert Malone is hyping. Vitamin D treatment for COVID. How to engage with your elected officials. That's interesting on a health website. A presentation about how the Pfizer, right, going back to who's the vice president of Pfizer, how Pfizer inoculations are actually worse for you than COVID-19. Not great material to be associated with. But I kept going through and I did find the membership page and there is a $50 yearly membership. So, you know, it's a Substack, you know, stepping back from it and trying to, you know, figure out, you know, what is this? What am I looking at? It's a newsletter, basically. And it is promoting alternative treatments to COVID. It's telling you how awful vaccines are. And you pay $50 a year to be a member of this organization. So, you know, this right here, well, you know, actually it reminded me of another site. The layout and the types of content that was in it reminded me of something else. It reminded me of the Children's Health Defense Fund group, whatever you want to call it, set up by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., America's top anti-vax person. And I know that no one, it's not cool to be called anti-vax today. So everyone wants to be vaccine hesitant or contrarian or whatever you want to say. Yeah, but RFK Jr. is an old school. You know, before they changed the name to Children's Health Fund, it was had Mercury in the title because it's that kind of old school anti-vax stuff going back to the days when they're saying that there's mercury in it and it's causing autism and all that. And so it's just the layout of the site. I was like, this looks a lot like an American version. I've seen this before. I know what this is. And so if you're watching the YouTube, you see that, you know, there's the Defender, which you can sign up for. And that is a newsletter, which is essentially what the other site was, just the Canadian version of that. And I went to the Defender, and lo and behold, what was one of the top stories under COVID for January 4th, 2022? Well, I'll tell you in a second if you're listening to this on the podcast, but if you're watching this on YouTube, Rogan and Malone, most important interview of our time. So this is when it totally falls apart. I mean, sorry. The Defender for Children's Defense Fund, formerly Mercury World, whatever, by RFK Jr., outspoken anti-vaxxer, in their newsletter, which reminded me of this other organization that Robert Malone was hyping up, this Canadian version. Although, you know, I'll give the Children Defense, whatever, this, it's only $10 to be a member there. The Kennedys probably have more money to deal with that. Yeah, January 4, 2022, Rogan and Malone, most important interview of our time. Man, it all kind of, you know, it's great when the intuition starts to come together with that. And honestly, that's what started happening here. At the end, Rogan signs off and then he has to come back on. And he has to come back on because, you know, Robert Malone was apparently talking to him in the parking lot and whatever. Let's say that that's what happened. And he had mentioned that there's going to be this big rally, this anti-mandate rally in D.C. And, you know, being objective truth tellers that they are, Rogan decided that they had to go back on and talk about this political protest against vaccine mandates, masks and lockdowns, because, I mean, that's what all doctors do, right? This is what they talk about. This is objective medical stuff. So I checked out the website, hashtag do not comply. Defeat the mandates in American homecoming. So you can march with these people. And, you know, what I always do when I see these sites is I scroll down to the bottom or I go to the About Us to see who's paying for this. All right. So who's paying for this? Well, wouldn't you know it, the Children's Health Defense Organization by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yeah. So the Children's Health Defense group that I honestly just had intuition from looking at the CCCA website, like, this looks like something I know. Oh, yeah. It's that anti-vax guy, Rob Kennedy. What's the name of his group? Children's Health Defense. Oh, look at this. On the Children's Health Defense page is a news story about this Rogan interview. How convenient. And then, you know, this guy, this doctor is talking about some protest, which is weird. Let me go check that out. Who funds it? Oh, the Children's Health Defense group does, along with the Unity Project, which is a project that Dr. Robert Malone himself is a part of. So just give me a break. Just stop. And, you know, the fact that that Rogan didn't mention any of this, that he just presented all of the, sorry, man. I'm not, for this one episode, this is gross. I'm not saying Rogan's always like, but this is pathetic. And you know, the fact that this guy, Robert Malone, says he's silenced or whatever. I don't know him. I went and did a search. You know what you want to do? Go do a Google search for Robert Malone. You know what you're going to see? Him in front of a camera. Because a guy is on every single podcast, every single Fox News show. You probably come on this show. I mean, like, give me a break. This guy is being silenced. I have an image up here on YouTube. The Dana Show. Tucker Carlson. Fox News. Freaking Steve Bannon. You want Bannon's podcast? Some YouTube video, quote unquote, red pilled on COVID vaccines. Oh, cool. So now we can, yeah, have some 4chan racism along with our freaking anti-vax. So no, no. And then lastly, this. So this is awesome. You know, as I'm making, as I'm putting this together today, I'm looking for images to just, yeah, like what's this guy, where's this guy been at? You know, and, you know, I'm looking at Laura Ingraham because he's all over Fox News. YouTube scraps Joe Rogan podcast episode over Nazi Germany comparison. I actually missed this probably because it's 3 hours long, but at some point during the interview, Dr. Robert Malone compares public policy for COVID to Nazi Germany. And there's just so much to that. Yes. But without going in, that's a whole episode of Holocaust comparison. And but without doing that, I just put a tweet up by the ADL because I'm not Jewish. I'm going to say that they're the experts on this. And the tweet says this. This compilation of comparisons between the Nazis and pandemic restrictions reveals a real danger, the normalization of hate. There is no equivalency between the Holocaust and measures to fight COVID, and these reckless comparisons must stop. So I'm just going to leave that there. But, you know, again, circling back, breathe, to the beginning of this, this person seems balanced. This person seems objective. This is what I want my medical researchers and medical, I want my providers to be making Holocaust and Nazi comparisons to things that they don't like. You know, this is completely normal adult behavior. And it kind of leaves us with this, you know. So what was this Joe Rogan interview? And it's kind of where I started at. I mean, just what the heck was that circus? Well, it wasn't what I expected, I'll tell you that. And kind of, you know, let's work our way backwards. What medical information was presented to us? Because that's kind of what I thought this is going to be about. Vitamin D treatments from CCCA, ivermectin stuff. Basically the kind of stuff that you see on anti-vax websites, when you get down to it, you know, when you get past Robert Malone talking about how vaccines are going to kill all the children and stuff and how it's like the Holocaust, when you look at his solutions, they're very vague. They're based in medicines that haven't been proven. And I mean, that's a conspiracy too, right? Because, you know, they're not going to allow you to prove it. Okay, whatever. And it's just stuff that, you know, it's stuff that like Trump was saying, and this isn't anti-Trump. It's true. You know, Trump was talking about these treatments kind of in the waning days of his presidency when everything was going bad in the spring and the summer. And this is stuff that you can go on the Children's Defense Fund and find, or Children's Defense website and find. If you don't believe me, just do it. Or go on CCCA. In my mind, after looking at these two, they're essentially interchangeable. So, you know, that's the medical part. It is a big letdown. Because there's a big advertising kind of segment for this clinical trial that Robert Malone is, I guess, a part of. But, you know, what's the big takeaway? I mean, the big takeaway is that, I don't know. Yeah, the big takeaway is really this. Go on Getter, right? Follow Dr. Robert Malone on Getter. The big takeaway is go to this march, go to this protest. The big takeaway is become a member of the CCCA. It's $50 for a year. The big takeaway is kind of that, you know, Dr. Robert Malone has been shafted by everybody from Twitter to his peers in his field, to LinkedIn, to the CDC, to, I mean, at certain points he talks about, you know, calling people in the CIA. The world is against this man, and it's the world's fault. It's not his. Outside of really just medical information that you can find on like anti-vax sites, the topics were big tech, the topics, which is not a topic. I mean, that's a talking point. The topics were free speech. Again, it's within the context of this discussion. That's not a topic. That's a talking point. And both of those things are very political. They're all wrapped up in the Republican Party. So, you know, kind of like at the end, it was politics and ads is what it was. Oh, and this, the conspiracies, right? You know, so if you're going to ask me what the conspiracy is, well, I already said a whole lot, but yes, Mr. Rogan, Mr. Malone, yes, world, Joe Biden got vaccinated. I couldn't believe that. My God, just any shred of legitimacy. All right. That's the Joe Rogan, Robert Malone episode breakdown.